spoke the words, and all the world came into order. You waved your hand, and planets filled the empty skies. You placed the woman and the man inside the garden. And though they fell, they found compassion in your eyes. O Lord, I stand amazed at the wonder of your deeds, and yet a greater wonder brings me to my knees. Lord, I praise you because of who you are, and for all the mighty things that you have done. Lord, I worship you because of who you are. You're all the reason that I need to voice my praise, because of who you are. One holy night, you brought your promise from a virgin. That promise grew as he revealed to us your heart. Enduring love displayed throughout his crucifixion. And in the dark, you tore the grave and death apart. O Lord, I stand amazed at the wonder of your deeds, and yet a greater wonder brings me to my knees. Lord, I praise you because of who you are, and for all the mighty things that you have done. Lord, I worship you because of who you are. You're all the reason that I need to voice my praise, because of who you are. Because of who you are. Because of who you are. You are.
Thank you for that song, Corey. I couldn't hear it, but thank you.
Yeah, I'm legally deaf, for those of you who don't know me. Is that on? Yep. I'm legally deaf. I don't know what illegally deaf would be. But I can't hear anything unless you're looking at me. And even then, I don't hear everything. But it's been good for me in my marriage. I'm a lot more happily married since I lost my hearing. You know, women speak 40,000 words a day. That's average. Women speak 40,000 words a day with wind gust up to 100,000. Men speak 10,000 words a day, average 10,000. So what happens is, we men, we use up all our words before we get home. But our wives, they have about 30,000 words left. So what I do when I get home, I take my hearing aids out. And then my wife can talk 30,000 words, no problem. And I don't hear her. So it's really been a blessing to me to be able to have a situation where we don't have any arguments, because I don't know what she's talking about. Amen. Hey, I am so happy to be with you, and it's a joy and a pleasure to be back here. 1986 was the first time I was here at Windsor Hills Baptist Church. I met Brother Ross at camp the week before. I think it was a week or two before. And I'd been going to camp for years, but we had never crossed paths. And anyway, he invited me to come to youth conference. And so we got home from camp and we loaded back up and came out here in July of 1986. So almost 30 years that I have been associated with Windsor Hills Baptist Church, Oklahoma Baptist College. Dr. Vineyard, good to see you. And I love Pastor Tom and Brother Finn, great friends. And I just, you know, I've got a lot of memories here. I've preached in chapel many times, youth conference, camp. So I'm thankful. I'm thankful to be here. Now, I don't know you, most of you. Some of you I know by face. Most of you, I don't know you. But I got to tell you one thing. There is no group that I'd rather preach to than young people. I enjoy preaching to young. And the reason I do, I mean, I feel right at home because my IQ is about as low as yours. No, I'm serious. It is. I'm a simple person. And I find that my niche is young people because your IQ isn't that great either. Really, you're not that smart. Now, you think you may be, but you're not. And I'm not that smart either. So I'm right at home. I'm right at home with you. I don't know, some of you were standing up before. I don't know why you were standing up, but I'm glad you were, and it's a blessing. Anyway, I just want to be a blessing to you, okay? That's all I want to do. I just want to be a blessing. And if I can encourage your hearts, I certainly want to do that. But I said a minute ago that I love to speak to teenagers because of your potential. That's what I really love about preaching to young people, is your potential. There's no telling what you could do for the Lord. And I just like to be a little bit of part of that. If I can encourage you some way, be a blessing to you, that's what I want to do. So I want you to take your Bibles this morning. I want to share something with you that the Lord really laid on my heart for you. I want you to look in the book of Acts. The book of Acts, chapter number 13. The book of Acts, chapter number 13, and verse number 21. Acts 13 and verse 21. If you have your Bible, hope you have your Bible. Hope you can find the book of Acts. By now you should be able to. Acts chapter 13, verse 21. The Bible says this, "And afterward they desired a king, and God gave unto them Saul the son of Cis, a man of the tribe of Benjamin by the space of 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus." Now, I want you to look at this one phrase here. This is an incredible phrase. This is the Lord speaking. And he says in verse number 22, "I have found David the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will." Now that is an incredible statement, that David fulfilled all of the will of God. I mean, think about that. In other words, when David died, he had done everything that God intended for him to do with his life. Now, young people, I want you to think on that thought this morning. That's what I want to focus on this morning. David was a man after God's own heart, all right? And then he fulfilled all of God's will. Now, I got to tell you one thing. I preach to teenagers a lot. I preach to adults. The Lord's been good to me. I'm nobody, but I preach to a lot of people. And I find very, very few people, adults, young people, who really have a heart for God. I'm talking about a heart for God. I'm saying there are very few people that really have the desire to know God and to be close to God and to spend time with Him and to love Him and to really, really desire to find out what He wants for their life. Honestly, even in Bible college, even in Christian schools, I'll tell you something. I've preached in public schools. You don't get to do that much anymore. But I've preached in public schools, and I've found a better audience in public schools than in some Christian schools that I've preached at. I've had more reception and more attention from young people that aren't even saved than I have from a lot of Christian young people. I'll tell you one thing. Over the years, I've found this to be true. A lot of Christian young people are just so programmed in what they're doing, going through the motions, everything at church, and if they go to a Christian school, youth activities, all of that. Basically, they just want to be entertained. They think, boy, Brother Dawson's a good preacher because he makes me laugh. Or that guy there, I really love him because he only preaches 15 minutes. But I'm just telling you the truth. We don't have very many people that have a heart for God. Now, see, I don't know anything about David before the Bible starts talking about him. But the Bible tells us, first of all, that David is tending sheep. And he's a shepherd. It wasn't a glamorous job. It was more of a job that the youngest son had to do because nobody else wanted that job. And so David is tending his father's sheep, but apparently something happened in David's life, and the Bible doesn't tell us what happened, but something happened in David's life while he was a boy, while he was a young man, that he had a heart for God and a desire to get to know God. And while he's out there with those sheep under the sky there in Israel, all alone, he had a walk with God. He learned to love God. I mean, he wrote some of his Psalms while he was young, and you can see when you read the Psalms how much David really wanted to know God. Now, I'm going to tell you something, young people. You're not going to get that in a Christian school. You're not going to get that in Bible college. You're not even going to get that in church, although people will encourage you and they'll challenge you. But that's something that's a personal decision. You've got to make a personal decision. Are you going to love the world or are you going to love God? Because you can't love both. It's impossible. The Bible says you can't love God and mammon. You cannot love the world and love God. You can't do it. And the most Christians that I've been around, they love the world. The things of the world, that's what they love. And so because of that, they never really get close to God. They never really get to know God. And because they don't know God, they don't really know what His will is, and they're not really interested in His will. Now I want to illustrate something to you. I just want to illustrate. Alex, I want you to come up here and help me. If you don't mind. Even if you do mind. I've had you up before, haven't I? Now, I want to tell you something. You know, he's grown up. Man, he's grown up. I mean, man, like, I thought he was out of college already. Married. I thought he might be married. But then I looked at him. I thought, nah, he probably isn't married. Hey, let me tell you something. The reason I like this guy, I like him. The reason I like him is because I see me when I was his age. Now, I don't know. Maybe you've changed, right? But you come across to me as a person that's pretty much quiet, not that outgoing. Is that true or not?
Yes, sir.
You can tell me anything you want to, okay? All right? We didn't rehearse this before, did we? Okay. Listen. I was the biggest introvert you've ever seen. You know, Dr. Vineyard, he left Lynchburg, I think summertime, and I got there in the fall. I didn't see Dr. Vineyard then. But anyway, I went to Bible college, and I don't think there were about 200 kids there the first year. And when I left there, there were about, 1,000. Nobody knew who I was. As a matter of fact, one of the reasons I went to Lynchburg, because I didn't know anything. I came out of the Church of God. I didn't know anything. My mom got sick, nearly died. And she wanted me to go. She'd been watching Jerry Falwell on TV. I'd never been in a Baptist church in my life. And so anyway, she wanted me to go down there. I didn't want to go down there, but she was very sick, thought she was dying. The doctor said she might be dying, so it was her wish. So I went down there. I got down there. I spent nearly 4 years there, and nobody knew me. I was so backward. Matter of fact, the best thing that ever happened to me, I had this speech teacher that embarrassed me like you can't believe. She'd get me up in front of the class and make me do all kinds of things. I hated that class. But she knew I was such an introvert. Now, today, people don't believe that. People don't believe that I'm introverted at all. And even today, if you shake my hand before I speak, my hand's cold because I'm nervous every time I get up to speak. It doesn't matter how many people I'm speaking to. I'm nervous. But I like doing it. I love doing it. Oh, but when I was your age, man, I'm not kidding you. I was scared to death to be up in front of anybody. I told my dad, I said, Dad, God's called me to preach. He said, God got the wrong number. And he was right. I said, I believe God wants me to preach. He said, son, if you preach, you got to get up in front of people. I said, maybe I could preach from a back room. Maybe I could get in a little box or something. I knew God wanted me to preach, but I was scared to death. I'm just telling you the truth, young people. You know, and I'm not making fun of Alex or anything, but ever since I've known him, and I've been around him through the years at camp and all, I mean, he just strikes me a lot like me. Now, you may not like that, but I'm just telling you. Now, you know something? I don't know what God's going to do with this young man. I don't know what his future is. If the Lord tarries, I don't know. But can I tell you one thing? Look at me. I want to tell you one thing. God has a will for his life. Nobody is on this earth by accident. Nobody is on this earth for just the pleasure of their own life. Everybody is on this earth for a purpose. I just love that. Hey, can I be honest with you? You don't mind standing here a minute, do you? Okay, listen. You know, so you girls sometimes, I feel sorry sometimes for girls, and I'll tell you why. No, I'm serious about this. The world has this measurement, this level, if you will, of what a young lady ought to be. And it's totally carnal. But girls get caught up in the fact, you know, I'm not that attractive. I'm not that good looking. I'm never going to get married, blah, blah. I hear that stuff. No, I'm serious. And girls, especially teenage girls, get this false or wrong expectation of what they ought to be instead of enjoying what God made them to be. And because they can't enjoy themselves because they're comparing themselves to somebody else and comparing themselves to a standard that's unrealistic, they don't enjoy their life. And they don't fulfill the will of God for their lives. All I'm saying to you is, there's always somebody better. There's always somebody better looking. There's always somebody more athletic. There's always somebody who's a better preacher. I've preached with some great preachers. I've preached with some preachers. I had no business up there with them, but I don't care. I'll preach with anybody. And I'll preach anywhere. You know why? I'm me. And all I can do with me is be the best I can be. That's all I can do. But I'm telling you right now, if you would have told me when I was sitting in college, if you would have told me that one day I'd be preaching all over the place, I'd get to do all the things I've gotten to do, if you would have told me that, I'd have never believed it. And like I say, not that I'm anything great. I'm not. But I'm telling you right now, God has been good to me and God has blessed me. And I'll tell you why it's blessed me. Not because of anything that I have to offer, but because I want to do His will. Are you with me this morning? How many understand what I'm saying? Now, do you know something? I don't know. When I look at David's life, hey, David wasn't perfect by a long shot. Man alive, you know, when you think about David, David was probably responsible for having more people die than anybody. I mean, David had that whole city. That whole city of priests was wiped out because David lied to the priest and told him he was on a mission for Saul, and he wasn't. And so then Saul came in, and they wiped out a whole city of priests and all their family. Another time, David numbered Israel, and 70,000 innocent people died because David decided to number Israel because of his pride. And then when David, because he was a lousy father, because David didn't discipline Absalom and didn't deal with Absalom, then Absalom and his army fought David and his army, and thousands of Israelites died because of David. So was he perfect? No. Did he have failure in his life? We all know he had failure in his life. But you know what? When God was talking here about him, he wasn't talking about his failures. He was talking about his successes. He said he fulfilled all my will. So here, I use Alex as an example to you this morning. I don't know what God wants to do with him, but I do know this. He's got a plan and a purpose for his life. And that's how every one of you are in this room. Introvert, extrovert. Mr. Personality, Mr. Zero. As far as the world is concerned. I like what the Bible says. Sometimes God uses the most unlikely people to do some incredible things. You know what? I'm 60 years old. I still want to be one of those people. I still want to be one of those people. I'm 60 years old, but I still, I've got life in me. My health is pretty good. I can't hear. Matter of fact, I'll tell you something. I'm losing my hair. I've lost my hearing. I've got a heart condition called supraventricular tachycardia. I can't even spell it. Everything with H in my body is going out. But I don't have hemorrhoids, so that's a blessing. I mean, there's always something to be thankful for. But I'm telling you something right now. Listen, as long as I've got breath and as long as I have life, God's got a plan and God's got a purpose for my life. And you too, but yours has just started. You have just begun. Hey, I want to illustrate. Alex right now is going to be David as a young man, okay? He's going to be David. And God looks at this young man and God says, there's a young man after my own heart, and he shall fulfill all my will. See, in the book of Acts, even though David was dead, God was speaking in the future tense, and God was saying, I found David, a man after my own heart, and he's going to fulfill all my will. Okay, what was the will of God? Was it for him to write the Psalms? He wrote a lot of Psalms, and really, if you want to know the heart of God, people tell you all the time, if you want to know about the heart of God, read the Psalms. I mean, there's some great Psalms. And David wrote most of them. Was that the will of God? David wrote all those Psalms. Or was it that David killed Goliath? Man, I don't know about you, but even as a 60-year-old old guy, I still love the story of David and Goliath. I still love that. I love the thought of David going out there. Nobody else would go. Saul wouldn't go. None of the warriors would go. Only little David went out there. And I can see David, and I see Goliath, you know, fee, fi, fo, fum. I smell the blood of an Israelite bum. Now, this guy's huge, and David's just a little guy. David said, you come with swords? I come with the Lord. Yeah, can you see that? I don't know about you, man. I've got a vivid imagination. I can see that. I can see little David coming out there running after Goliath, hitting Goliath with that rock. Can you see that? Was that the will of God? Or, hey, was it the will of God for him to be the king of Israel? I mean, you can't mention, in the Bible, you can't mention Israel without thinking about David. Even the future. The throne of David. I'm sure that was a big part of it. And David, in his walk with God, was able to subdue all the kingdoms around them and bring Israel to a height of glory that they had never seen before. You know, one of the things I think, when David got ready to die, you know what he did? He wanted to build a temple. He wanted so bad to build a temple for the Lord. And the Lord said, you can't do it because you're a bloody man. And David said, okay, I can't do it, but I'm still going to design it. David's the one who designed the temple. David collected all the materials because he loved the Lord so much. And even though he didn't build it, he did everything but build that temple because he wanted a place for the Lord to call home. Hey, I don't know which one of those things was the most important thing David did, or maybe it was something that we don't even know about for sure. But I know one thing. When he got done and he breathed his last breath, he fulfilled all the will of God. He did what he was put on this earth to do. What a great statement. Isn't that a great statement? You're excited, aren't you?
Yes,
sir. I can tell. It's written all over it. Hey, I'm telling you something right now. I'm so glad. Come up here. Stand up here. Are you in college? Are you visiting here? Are you an exchange student? I don't care what you are. Sit down there. I like you, man. You're a good guy. Where are you from? Japan. Good. Okay, come here. You come here. Are you in college? You're like a midget. Okay. Are you an exchange student? Are you just visiting? Do you know why you're here? Okay, good. All right, I'm not going to ask their name because I can't hear, but I'm going to tell you something. Hey, come here. You come up here. You come up here and stand right here. Okay? You too. You knew I was going to call you. I could tell. I could tell you saw it on your face. Come here. Okay. Are you in college? Do you want to be? Okay. Now, look, I can have everybody come up here. You want to come up here? Listen to me. Look at these people, okay? I got an exchange student from Japan, right? Okay, where are you from?
Oklahoma.
Oklahoma City? Okay, good. That's a foreign country. Okay. Hey, where are you from?
Illinois.
Huh?
Illinois.
You're from Illinois? I'm from Illinois. What part?
Rock Island.
Okay, I know where that is. I've been there. Where are you from?
Oklahoma City.
Oklahoma City, okay. Good. Okay, great. Hey, look at me. Listen. Look at different people, okay? Different people. Different personalities. Different talent. But you know what? God looks at each one of you. And God says, I put you on this earth for a reason, and I have a plan for your life, and I want you to do my will. That's it. Hey, you know something that's really amazing to me? It's so simple. Everybody's trying to make the Christian life difficult, and it's so simple. It really is. You can write hundreds of books about it, but you don't need 100 books. You got the Bible. And I'm telling you something right now. It all comes down to this. God wants you to go to heaven, and he leads you to a place where you make a decision to be saved. You get saved, and then you say, Lord, what do you want me to do? Number one, there are some things we know already what God wants us to do. Number two, there are some things we do not know what God wants us to do, but he's going to show us. Aren't you happy? Hey, look, I like to look at people. I like to look in the face. I do. What? I don't know what you're saying. All right, listen. I look at you guys, you know, and are you exchange student?
No.
You look like one. Okay. Okay. Now listen. Listen to me. I'm not making fun of you. Look at me. This is so exciting to me. I don't care how many people are here. You know, sometimes we get caught up. If you're here and I'm here, and God wants to do something. And this is what's exciting to me. I think of all the young people that have come out of Oklahoma Baptist College. I can say this without reservation. There are many, many Christian colleges, and there are some that are very big and some that are very small. But over the years, there have never been more young people out of any college that have gone and done something and stayed by the stuff and made a difference like this place right here. Right here. Almost everybody's still on the field. Serving God. Doing something. And I look at this young lady from Oklahoma City, this young lady from Rockford, Illinois, Alex from across the street. Here's a young man from Japan. And that's a blessing to me, man. I'll shake your hand again. Here's a little guy from Oklahoma City too, huh? He doesn't know. Okay, but he's from around here. And every single one of them different. Different personalities, different size, different. But you know what? You know what God would like to say? There's a little guy right there after my own heart. And he's going to fulfill all my will. Hey, there's a young guy right there. There's a young man from Japan. And he came over here as an exchange student. It was no accident he ended up here. He could have ended up a lot of places. But he ended up here. It's no accident. There are no accidents. Here's Alex, homegrown right here, man. Were you born on the mission field?
Yes, sir.
You were born here?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, anyway, here he is. Here's Miss Rockford, Oklahoma City product. God's got a plan. God's got a plan. I was an introvert, wouldn't speak to anybody, nervous to even have a conversation. That's how introverted I was. Growing up in the Church of God, and God said, I want to get you out of there. And then I ended up in Lynchburg, and God said, that's okay, we're moving on. And I look at my life, and step by step, and where he brought me from, and where I am today, and all I can say to you is, I want to do God's will. I want to do what I can do. Somebody may do more. Amen. I want to do what I was made to do. Anybody with me this morning? I want to do what the Lord made me to do. I want to do that. And he's already got it planned out. And he can say in the future, even now, he can say about you, he can call you by name, she will fulfill all my will. He will fulfill all my will. She will not do anything. He is a dud. Now, God wouldn't say you're a dud. But as far as you doing something, because you don't care about God's will, you care about you. See? It wasn't David being a king that made him special. It was that David was willing to do what God wanted him to do that made him special. Listen, young people, you can sit down. Thank you so much for helping me. I'm done here. Time is up here. But listen to me. You know, I've known Pastor Tom since he was in college. I've known of Dr. Vineyard back since I've been in independent Baptist churches. I can't imagine when I think about the number of people that Dr. Vineyard has influenced to be saved, the number of young people that he's influenced to be on the mission field, and all of that. And in my opinion, my personal opinion, when I think of the men in my generation that have had an impact on people, very few have had as much impact as Dr. Vineyard. He's influenced a lot of people. And I think of Pastor Tom, and I think of Brother Finn. And Faye. How many years you've been here, Brother Finn? 36? How many years you've been here? 33? I've been here off and on 30. But I'm going to tell you something. Not all of us have had the same results, but that doesn't matter. What matters is that we do God's will. You say, well, I don't think I can do it. You can do it because God made you to do it. That's the thing. You can excuse yourself, and you can give me reasons why you think you can't do it, but I'm telling you they're nothing but excuses, because you can do what God made you to do. You can do it. And that's what God wants. And the thing I love about God is that He orchestrates the whole thing. You know, Oklahoma Baptist College may not be the college for everybody. It never has been. But when I think about that song that they sang, and I used to know all the words, and I don't remember all the words, but I liked the song. But I think about all the young people around the world right now that went to Oklahoma Baptist College serving God, seeing who knows how many hundreds and thousands of people saved through their lifetime, through their ministry, doing God's will. Hey, it's your turn. It's your turn. It's your choice. God gives you free will. Your choice. I pray that God will help you to want to do His will. And the only way you're ever going to really want to do His will is if you're a man or a lady after His heart. Because if you're a person after God's heart, I promise you one thing, you're going to be doing God's will and enjoying it. I'm going to tell you one last thing, all right? I wouldn't do anything else. Give me any group of people that I can preach to. I wouldn't do anything else. Am I a happy camper? You better believe it. I love to do what God made me to do. It's the best life. Now, you can go out and do your own thing, and you could make a lot of money or maybe make a name for yourself or all of that, but when you go to bed at night and you're all by yourself, there's going to be something missing inside, because God made you for a reason. But when you do God's will, you go to bed at night, and you know you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, and there's a satisfaction that nothing else in this world can give. Would you bow your heads with me? Every head bowed, every eye closed. I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you this morning. We're going to have a short invitation. I want to challenge you, and I want to ask you a question. How many of you would come and slip down here around this altar and say, I want to do God's will? Now, if you don't really mean that, we're not looking down on you. You may not even be at the point where you are ready to make that statement. I'm not trying to pull you to the altar. But I'm telling you right now, that God's got a plan and a purpose. That's the most important thing there is. Amy's going to play a verse of song. And I just wanted to challenge you, young people. If you're here today and not saved, that's the most important thing. That's the will of God. God is not willing that any should perish. You're saved, and you've been struggling even, maybe with what God wants you to do. Say, hey, I'll do it. You don't have to know everything. All you have to do is just be yielded. Let's stand together. Amy's going to play a verse of song. If God spoke to your heart, I want you to come down here to the altar. If He spoke to your heart, I want you just to slip out of your seat and come down here to the altar.